In this show, we'll give you the 10 reasons why we use Wirecast. This is the Tech and Teaching Podcast on Strive. I'm Eric, that's Jordan. No last names, no titles, no nothing. Straight into it. Last week, we talked about the hardware. We talked about Macs and PCs, the different specs, get an M1, get a lot of RAM, whatever it is you might be using to stream. And now we're talking about the software side. And this is the, you need the software, you need the encoding to push the stream to whatever your destination is, whether it's a Strive channel, whether it's some other platform. And so there's 10 things that we came up with, and we started doing the list, and we ended up with 12. So I'm sorry, the title is very misleading. We actually have 12 reasons why we use Wirecast. And you want to stick around because at the end of the show, we have a special announcement of the 10 reasons. The first one, near and dear to our hearts, because it is literally the thing that all of us started with. Everyone associated with this podcast, me, Jordan, and Hoosier, we all started with Wirecast.
Yeah.
Because that's what Taylor started with. And I know that that's, now, for you guys watching this, that's like not a reason. But it is a reason, because at the time when we all started, Taylor had an entire year of, or two or three actually at that point, of producing streams. So he was trying, he had tried all of the different things, Ustream and I think we on the Cube and stuff like that. And 12-13 years ago, man, there's a lot of small kind of randomness out there.
I don't even think OBS was around.
I don't think OBS was out yet. I think OBS was an answer to Wirecast, if I'm not mistaken. But Wirecast was really the thing that across all of those different tools that really kind of stood out as this is a solid product. This is something that can be kind of scalable, and it was as the idea of what Strive could be as a company was evolving. Mm-hmm. Wirecast was kind of one of the pieces to bring together, and that's what Taylor did. So when we say that, well, that's because that's what Taylor used. There was actually a lot of use behind it. It wasn't just, oh, Wirecast there, okay, and then we move on. And you have used it as well before, because if you don't know, in Jordan's previous life, he was an auto mechanic.
Yes.
And a part-time church producer.
I was on the, I'm on the AV team, so I'll do sound. But then on the streaming side, the visual side, yeah, we used Wirecast, and that was partly because Taylor went there and got us going on that. So yeah, that's what I started off with. And then at the time, I think, when I started using it, I did look into OBS a little bit, and it just, since it's free and user supported, which is awesome, but there was just some limitations, and it, I don't know, wasn't the fit for us.
Right. So. And we should make note that this episode is not a compare and contrast of Wirecast versus OBS. There are plenty of great looking streams to be done with OBS, and there are plenty of great looking streams to be done with Wirecast. We're just kind of giving you kind of our basis of using Wirecast.
Yeah, these are more of the features that we like about Wirecast, and so it.
Yeah, you want to take number two?
Yeah, sure. And this is number two is kind of my favorite piece about it, and that to me what distinguishes it apart from OBS per se. Is the layer base? It has a layer based system, so you can really, unlike OBS, where you're going to make every scene, or at least in my mind, you have to make every scene that you possibly could want, and then choosing that one. And so you have scads of scenes. You can actually mix and match and make your own scenes by these layers. And we'll probably have a part two to this that we'll go through and kind of explain how we use Wirecast. And that kind of the layer-based system, how we set that out. But yeah, anything up on top is going to cover what's underneath it, and so you can do your graphics and all that fun stuff. So that is where it gets really flexible, and you can make it as simple as you want it or as complicated as you want it, just using those layers, and it's still user-friendly too,
right?
As even as complicated as it could get.
Yep, and that's so you kind of did two and three there. So yeah, make sure you separate that out when you do. So number two, layers, they're like ogres, they're like onions, they're like parfait.
Ogres are like onions. They stink?
Yes. No.
Oh, they make you cry?
No.
Oh, you leave them out in the sun, they get all brown, start sprouting little white hairs?
No. Layers.
Everybody likes the layers. Super easy to do different things. And then user specific when it comes to easy or hard. You can make it super easy.
Yeah.
Or you can make it quite a bit more hard. One of the things I really like about it is the ease of media files and the ease of use of those media files. The ability to just drag and drop something from the downloads folder or we love using Dropbox. And what is really cool is if you have Dropbox installed on the streaming computer, you can actually take a file straight from Dropbox, not from the web page. It doesn't work like that. But if you have it installed, you can take a file straight from the Finder window, drag it right into Wirecast, and then if someone updates the file in Dropbox, it automatically updates within Wirecast. Really cool way to do graphics, actually, if you've got that kind of bandwidth. But super, super fun. And adding media files, you know, one of the first things when we set up a new school is, oh, how can I get a commercial in? I'm like, you see that file over there on that side of your desktop? Drag it and let it go. And there it is.
Boom.
Like it's boom. I didn't even, oh my God, we didn't do the intro.
Right back to you after this.
Strive AV is your one-stop destination for all of your audio, visual, and IT needs. Strive AV offers over 2,100 top-of-the-line brands and products, ranging from projectors and sound systems to cables, servers, and so much more. Our wide selection of options ensures that you'll always find the perfect solution for any tech need, no matter how complex or specialized. Plus, all of our products come with competitive pricing and unbeatable customer service. So when you need to upgrade or replace your equipment, make sure to shop Strive AV first. So head to striveav.com. That's STRIVAV.com.
So the media files, using the media files is super, super easy and very easy to manipulate. Also, the fact that you can drag and drop them within the layers. You can move stuff around in the layers is very, very easy. So if you want to change what your scene kind of looks like or how it stacks up, you can sure do that too.
I concur.
Great. Wonderful. I'm glad you do. Number five, a basic replay function.
Yeah, you're able to use it to make some basic replays and some playlists if you get used to it. I haven't played around with it enough. To me, it was kind of confusing, but I think Hoosier, he's played with it, and he likes using it to a certain extent. So I think without spending Buco bucks to get an actual replay system, it's kind of a good middle ground that you could. It is a pro feature, so you do have to pay the, I don't know, whatever it is extra to get the pro. But yes, that is a feature there that is nice to kind of create just a few highlights here and there.
Right, and one of the things that I found, once you have it set up, it's pretty easy to run because you set it up and you tell it which layer to put the replay shot into. You can tell it actually exactly what you want to capture. So you can actually capture just the video input and not have audio with it. Mm-hmm. So if we do obviously a lot of sports broadcasting. And so if you think about, well, we want to capture the replay of the play, but we don't want to capture the audio because we don't want to play back the audio that was with the video while it was being live. Well, you don't want your announcers to literally talk over themselves, right? So you're going to capture. So a lot of the confusion and the difficulty comes from the setup, but once you have it set up and you have that workflow figured out, it's actually pretty easy.
Okay.
Word of note, I have had a school that just got and started really playing with replay over the winter sports season, which is just concluded here in Nebraska. And they weren't deleting the replay shots, and so they ended up with like 45 shots still in Wirecast.
Oh, wow.
You do have to delete those one by one. There is no bulk delete out of the shot layers of the Wirecast. So that's just something to keep in mind. Number six on our list is the secondary live output, and this is super handy for announcers. It is super handy for video boards. Kind of the possibilities are endless when you talk about that. But Jordan, talk a little bit more about the secondary live output. available in Wirecast.
Yeah, you're able to basically set up a alternate video feed to wherever you want. If it's on a video board or for the announcers as a confidence camera, or in the commons, you know, wherever you want to go with it, that's completely up to you. And you could even, this will kind of bleed a little bit into our next point, but it does have an NDI output. So if you wanted to, if you have an NDI, like a Bird Dog NDI converter, you could just set up an NDI converter at your Commons TV and have that pointed at that NDI source and have it pull up there. So it just goes all over your network and it shows up wherever you want. So that's kind of a cool feature that I believe that is a pro feature, so you'll have to upgrade for that. But it just gives a lot of flexibility, so your announcers are all on the same page. They don't have to kind of glance over at the computer screen, or, you know, depending, they might even have access to the computer screen depending on where they're located. But that's a great way to do that, and I think you guys did that to get replay down on the floor for state basketball, just in case the officials needed that.
Yep, sure did. Had the live output from Wirecast in our case, did go to and we did it wirelessly. So we used the SWIT technology, had a SWIT curve which has the 500 feet of range, and it was an HDMI out of our streaming computer into the curve. And then from the curve, it was wirelessly transmitted to the receiver, which was plugged in at the score table. And that HDMI out went straight to the monitor. So if officials needed it for their replay reviews, they had that down there, and it was wirelessly transmitted. So it worked really, really well, actually.
And you can even configure that output. You can do the live feed. That is like whatever you're streaming or whatever's live, I guess. Commercials and all that other stuff. But you could also configure it that if you had multiple inputs, this would be more if you had a couple capture cards or a Blackmagic deck link where you can have that 4 HDMI, 4 SDI, that you're able to make a multi-view monitor out of it. So if you do need a multi-view monitor somewhere else and want to use Wirecast to do that, you're definitely able to do that.
Our next reason why we like to use Wirecast is the NDI inputs. Jordan alluded to the NDI outputs as well, but it can accept NDI inputs. Mm-hmm. So you can have sources over your network brought into Wirecast, and they show up if you have cameras or whatever it is that's an NDI source. It can pull it into Wirecast pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, and that's kind of fun when you want to get involved more with, I mean, you can do it like what Eric said with cameras, but the graphics piece is kind of cool with NDI. You could use OBS and use that as your kind of your graphic software, and then NDI output of OBS into Wirecast, and then they can mix that in, or Tidler Live has a sports broadcasting package that can also NDI out, pull that into Wirecast. And that comes with NDI input is standard on all versions of Wirecast. So you don't have to have Pro for that, which is really nice. But that's another feature that if you do have NDI cameras and you have a beefy enough laptop, that's another thing that you kind of have to watch out for. You might want a bigger laptop if you want to do all NDI workflow.
Right.
But it's there as an option, and I think it's really, really cool.
Absolutely. Number 8 on our list is ISO recording of your inputs. And this is especially handy. A downside to this one in particular is if you are using an external switcher. So in a lot of our setups, we are talking about a switcher like the A10 Mini. We talked about that during our capture cards. You might have the AV Matrix. You might have a Roland. We have the bigger Blackmagic television studio. All of those external switchers are coming to Wirecast as one source. However, if you have the computer, you wouldn't need it. You wouldn't do it on an Air, but if you had a MacBook Pro and you had multiple sources coming in, maybe you have two different capture cards. You could have two different capture cards and a USB soundboard, something like that. You could actually ISO record all of those inputs, and they would all come in as their own replay shot, if you will. That would be one way to do replay with a different camera angle is you could actually split a camera before it got to a switcher, and you can have an ISO shot coming in to Wirecast as a separate, and then you could, when you hit your ISO record and hit your replay, that's actually, you would see just that second camera view. That would be the way to do that.
That would ISO recording, so you don't have to have all those different splits and capture cards, would work really well with the NDI inputs, and that way it's just all the same, basically. But if you do want to do that, I'd probably suggest looking at Wirecast gear or something like that, and then that way they can be custom built to your needs, and that way they have all the right hardware for that, because that could NDI inputting, and if you NDI out and ISO, that's a lot of computing right there. So that'll be a special thing.
Right. Next on our list is the multiple destinations when streaming. Just this past weekend, used Wirecast to stream to both Facebook and a Twitter account at the same time. We've had schools use a Strive channel and a YouTube channel. We have streamed, I've streamed at the same time. I've streamed to a Strive channel, a Facebook channel, and a Twitter account on our Friday Night Live show. So as, again, it becomes a bit of a resource hog when you're talking about the laptop or computer that you're using. So if you've got a laptop that can handle it, you can output quite a few destinations at the same time, multiple channels at the same time. What is really kind of cool, I've seen some schools use different audio sources and actually use one version of Wirecast, and one destination is an English version of an event, and one destination is a separate channel, but it is a Spanish version of the same event. And it's really kind of just run through one Wirecast.
They actually did that with two machines.
Take back everything I said.
But
scratch that whole thing. But you could do it.
This segues into number 10.
It does.
Because audio mapping, they could have had two soundboards plugged into that computer, and then when you configure your two destinations, you can, on Pro, Wirecast Pro, you can choose which audio source that you want to be associated with that stream. And so, yes, you could have one camera crew split it between two different destinations and have English on one and Spanish on the other, and you're good to go. So that's a really cool feature of you're able to kind of do a bilingual or multilingual broadcast with the same crew and one computer.
One computer, the same set of camera people, two soundboards.
Yep.
Essentially. Very cool. All right, so now our bonus additions, our bonus thoughts, if you will, on the 10 reasons why we use Wirecast. Number 11 is the ability to use an iPhone as a camera input. And this has been around for a while. It's gotten much better now, especially on the Mac side, when you've got the Continuity camera. You can open up Wirecast on, and if you have the same iCloud signed in to both the computer and the phone, it will literally kick on your phone, and suddenly your camera on your phone is now available directly in Wirecast.
That's creepy. It just turns on and starts looking at you. I don't know if I
sometimes
how I feel
it's
about
a little
that.
Creepy, but that's a 1080 camera. On so it works great if you're doing a Zoom call or something, or you're doing a selfie mode. It just pops up and it's right in Wirecast 1080 camera. You don't need necessarily the really nice DSLR. We like our nice DSLR. We like our nice lights. But if you were just, man, I got to get something recorded now. I got to record it in Wirecast because I want some other graphic stuff on top of it. Here's my phone, Continuity camera. It's in Wirecast. You're done. No capture card required. Pretty cool.
Boom. Done.
Boom. Done. Knowledge. Boom. And the last one is Rendezvous. And Rendezvous has been around as well within Wirecast for a while. And again, it's overgone some different iterations over the years. It is kind of like Zoom built in to Wirecast.
Yep.
It's very easy to create the shot, create the rendezvous meeting, if you will. It creates a link. You email or send that link to your guest. They click on that link, enable their camera, enable their microphone, and now you have a remote guest in. It's a cool way to do an interview with with someone who is not in your school or in your location, wherever that might be, pops open the camera on their laptop, off they go. Pops in phones as well, because that's how I would do Friday Night Live with Tony and Mike. They would be at whatever football game. I would be here at the studio, and I would just text them the link. It would open up on their phone, and we were talking in the show just as fast as that was.
And wouldn't you say that Rendezvous is kind of like StreamYard? They're mm-hmm. very similar in how they operate.
Yep. So if you haven't used StreamYard, that's another streaming software. Similar-ish to
web-based, I would say.
It's web-based, but it kind of does basically the same things as Wirecast, super easy to do interviews with StreamYard, because you are, again, creating that link, send it to your guest, and their camera opens right away, and they're in the show. So it's very similar in that regard. Obviously, you have more of the functionalities of a bigger production with doing it through Wirecast than you do with StreamYard. But, yeah, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that's 12 of them. Mm-hmm. And so if you have your favorite feature of Wirecast, or of a really cool feature of a different software, but just put that down in the comments below and tell us what your favorite feature is of your streaming software. But, that is what we like about Wirecast.
It is indeed. We have a special announcement. We're going to go live again soon. And, we have to make sure Jordan is properly caffeinated for it. But at the end of the month, on the 29th, March 29th, we will be going live 3:45 p.m. Central Time for an AMA style. It worked really well last time.
Yeah.
We will encourage submission of questions on the Strive Education Slack. You can, if you comment on YouTube while we're going live, you can do that. If you comment, send us a tweet.
Comment on the video too.
Comment on this video, and we'll throw it in there. Yep. I'm sure Danielle will have more information going out in emails. But join us for our live show again. It created a ton of content. We really like the here's the question, and then we answer it. That way we know what to say. Otherwise, we end up just rambling. Like this one, we rambled so long, thought this was going to be 10 minutes. And now we're here 35 minutes, and we're still not done. So who knows? But anyway, join us for the live version of Tech and Teaching. We will be then doing a couple of shows throughout April and into May before we wrap up the 22-23 school year. We will have some episodes over the summer as well. Not in the hoodies. I'm excited to be not in a hoodie for this thing at some point this school year, or at some point the rest of my life. I'm not sure. That's Jordan. I'm Eric. We have given you all of the general tips, tricks, and general knowledge bombs.
Kaboom.
About how to get your school's live stream or podcast and take it to the next level. Thanks for joining us on the Tech and Teaching Podcast. So long.